Hi, I'm Dana Stevens, Slate's movie critic, and I'm here with the Slate spoiler special on Snakes on a Plane. Now, the spoiler special, if it wasn't obvious from the name, a name perhaps just as obvious as Snakes on a Plane itself, is where we take the chance to do what a movie review doesn't do and give away the movie's secrets. So if you haven't seen Snakes on a Plane and you're not sure what it's about for some reason, then don't listen to this podcast until you've seen it. So I'm here with Brian Curtis, a Slate senior editor. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Dana. So spoiling Snakes on a Plane, we can assure listeners right now that there are, in fact, snakes on a plane. This movie delivers definitely in that department. And what else should we spoil for the movie? We should spoil, first of all, how the snakes get on a plane, because that's like an essential element of any Snakes on a Plane sort of style movie, right? And so tell me how they get, because I've totally forgotten already.
Well, as far as I can follow, the snakes are smuggled onto the plane in boxes of Lay's, Hawaiian Lay's.
This is a Hawaiian airline.
Right. It's a fake Hawaiian airline, right? It's called South Pacific Air.
Right. And so they have tons of Lay's in the cargo hold,
just in case anyone should need one mid-flight.
Right?
They actually put them around the neck of each passenger at the beginning of the flight, remember?
And the snakes, and there must be hundreds and hundreds of snakes on this particular plane, are squirming around in the boxes of Lay's.
Having been sprayed with a snake-enraging pheromone before.
Snake-enraging pheromone, and I wanted to ask you about that, because I would think if you sprayed the snakes down with pheromones, in the movie, the diabolical gangster genius who puts the snakes on a plane, and he's trying to, by the way, kill, we should add this, a witness who's going to testify against him in court. Anyway, the diabolical gangster genius has someone spray the Lay's with pheromones to drive the snakes into a sexually induced rage. And why don't the snakes just start mating with themselves, with each other, not snake masturbation here. Why don't the snakes just start mating with each other instead of trying to eat all the passengers on the plane?
Excellent question. Why don't they just get it on in their boxes of Lay's? No idea. Maybe he got all male or all female snakes?
You could think.
Doesn't want to make a gay snake movie? He's afraid to go there?
It's true. You would just think it'd be a great snake orgy in the cargo hold and the passengers wouldn't be any the wiser, right? Maybe the baggage handlers when it was time to unload the plane, but
For some reason, it makes the snakes all aggro. So we should also
explain how the snakes get into the passenger section of the plane, because this was a little bit confusing for me. There was some sort of time-release bomb in the cargo hold that blew open some special door. It was a little unclear. But then all of a sudden, when the plane starts sort of running into some turbulence, the snakes start descending and ascending from every possible nook and cranny.
Yeah,
right?
Not quite clear if the turbulence is what set it off or if it was just on a timer anyway, because there's a timer counting down. But
this is
somehow these boxes open without killing any snakes, releasing the angry snakes into the cargo hold from where they quickly make it into coach class.
And there's a great scene where the oxygen masks come down for the passengers and snakes descend with them, snakes sort of hanging down as if from a tree branch.
Possibly the best visual gag in the entire movie, using the shape of the snake as almost the cord that the oxygen mask drops down on. I didn't want to give that away in my review because that's the kind of thing you go see a movie called Snakes on a Plane for.
Absolutely right. And how about when the passengers get offed one by one, or two by two in some cases, the first couple of passengers? It seems in the movie to be totally about sex in the great tradition of horror movies, right? The more sexually adventurous passengers are the ones getting...
Yeah, we were discussing this. I think if you sort of categorize the various snake deaths in the movie, that the first people to get it, just like in an old-fashioned teen slasher flick, are those who dare to get it on, including a couple that goes to join the Mile High Club
in the bathroom,
and are the first to, you know, meet their bitter end at the fangs of the snakes.
And are conspicuously attacked in their private regions by the angry snakes, right?
In an absolutely exploitive scene with the most gratuitous nudity I've seen this side of softcore porn.
Right. The most gratuitous nudity you've ever seen in a Snakes in a Plane movie. And then the other thing was a newlywed couple, right, sort of gets it. Is that true?
And to me that starts to point to a little bit later on, people start just randomly getting it, whether they're, you know, getting it on or not. And to me, when the newlywed couple bites it, it's really a moment of total moral neutrality, amorality of the movie. They're perfectly nice, right? The guy's afraid of flying, and we've been sort of led to identify with him and feel sorry for him on this flight that he's afraid of anyway, whether they're snakes or not. And yet this married newlywed couple just meets a brutal end. It's just a moment of true perversity that I really admire.
And speaking of perversity, the one great scene in the movie, you mentioned this in your review, is the little child, little infant, holding a rattle and being menaced by a snake. It might have been a cobra. I can't remember exactly what snake it was. But being menaced by a snake while a brave stewardess slash flight attendant tries to jump in and come to the rescue.
And gives her life in the process.
Yeah, that was a fantastic and very moving scene, I thought,
That's
in this
perhaps
movie.
The definition of exploitation to me. If you could just have that still extracted from the movie, a baby holding a rattle while menaced by a cobra.
That's exactly right. In terms of plot holes, the other thing is this evil mastermind we were talking about, Eddie Kim, Nothing really seems to happen to him. We hear that he's arrested at the end of the movie, but we see several gratuitous scenes with him, one with him killing a prosecutor, the second one with him kickboxing for no particular reason. It was like if they wanted to make a Snakes on a Plane movie and a kickboxing movie in one.
Yeah, and yet after his big kickboxing scene, Eddie Kim, the mastermind villain, drops completely out of the movie. He's maybe mentioned a couple other times by the cops, but essentially we don't need him anymore. We've got Snakes on a Plane. They're the new villain. And we never really hear what happens to Eddie Kim, although it's implied at the end that he's going to be off to the gas chamber, tried for murder, right?
Right.
And multiple counts.
Multiple counts. Because we should say, as a way of a spoiler, what, a few dozen people get eaten by the snakes?
I don't know. It's one of those movies that the body count is almost hard to keep up with. I think you definitely see at least a dozen people.
Least a third of Coach, right?
But as in the show Lost on TV, we don't really necessarily know everyone who's on the plane, right?
That's right. We just sort
of see random bloody limbs sticking out into the aisle of the plane and assume that that's another unknown passenger who got it.
And a particularly gruesome death, one priggish British guy, after being denied a seat in first class and after sacrificing a very nice woman's chihuahua to what looks like an anaconda, is then ensnared by the anaconda and eaten whole, right? The sort of anaconda sort of descends over him and kills him.
Yeah, the last shot you see of that guy, who's sort of set up as a sort of semi-villain too, he's such a nasty guy, is his head disappearing entirely into the snake's gullet. And I was waiting for a shot later on where you would see a man-shaped lump passing through the snake, but we never got that.
We never got that. We did see the engorged anaconda flying out of the plane window, which was kind of
Let's get to that plot hole if we have time.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's hit it right now. The way that Samuel L. Jackson ultimately disposes of, I would say, most of the snakes, some of them are killed by various clever ways, is to blow several holes in the plane window by discharging his gun on the plane, tie all the passengers in with ropes and seatbelts and that kind of thing, and then sort of create this change in cabin pressure by which all the snakes suddenly get sucked out of all the windows of the plane, right?
Yeah, this is something I would love to ask a physicist or a biologist. I don't know who could answer this question.
A stewardess?
What would happen if you did blow two giant holes with a gun in the side of an airplane still, I don't know, several thousand feet in the air?
Right.
Could
Probably not an
live?
Experiment we want to try, but yeah.
I mean, it's just seconds before that in the movie, right? There's a great deal of concern with the air conditioning system and the recirculation of air and how everyone on the plane will die if the air conditioning isn't turned on, because it has to be just so. And yet, moments later, huge holes are blasted in the side of the plane and people are nearly flying out of them, and they all seem to breathe and live all
right.
the way down.
But the snakes really bite it when this happens.
And that's, I think, maybe was another of our favorite scenes in the movie. We love to see the random debris flying out the holes
right.
in the sides, with the odd snake included.
Yes, you see it's like, you know, a sort of an overhead bin, you know, emptying of luggage, and then an anaconda flies out the window. That was sort of a nice touch. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is, you raised the point in your review in the remaining couple of minutes we have left here about Snakes on a Plane being a post 9-1-1 parable, reflecting all of our current anxieties, Dana, about air travel in this war on terror age. Do you care to expand on that a little bit?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that you'll run on that one with me, because I was a little bit gingerly stepping there in the review because nobody had seen the movie, and you know, I didn't want to go too far out there analyzing this movie that obviously exists primarily to entertain and to have the title Snakes on a Plane. But I actually think that it makes quite a strong political allegory with, you know, our current anxieties about flight,
right.
about danger, about sort of random visitation of evil upon us. You know, the snakes are, I think, a great kind of analogy for Al-Qaeda villains. Why not?
And helplessness in the air, right? I mean, the idea that, you know, sort of this idea after 9/11 that you would feel this terror about being on an airplane and being totally sort of terrified and rendered helpless by the situation. We don't want to take this too far, but being rendered helpless by the situation, well, you would obviously feel very helpless if several dozen snakes were slithering around under your seats and threatening to eat all your fellow
passengers. Right. I mean, it's a combination of two of the greatest phobias that people have, right? The claustrophobia, fear of plane flight, and fear of snakes, which, you know, some people are so afraid of snakes, they literally can't look at a picture of them in a magazine. I can't imagine that those people are going to be flocking to this movie.
Yeah, and you liked Samuel L. Jackson's character as the kind of strong, decisive leader we need in this uncertain time.
Well, I think, I mean, obviously Samuel L. Jackson is the heart and soul of this movie, and everybody just hoots with joy when he first appears, partly just because he's one of the only good actors in the movie. So the intensity of his presence is just worlds above, you know, a lot of these sort of almost non-professional seeming, you know, B-list actors in the movie. But yeah, why not? I mean, he seems to me like the ideal leader. He's exactly what you want.
The Harry Truman of Snakes on a Plane, the sort of, you know, calm and, you know, presence during wartime, right?
Absolutely. Do you think I'm taking that too far, the 9/11
yes.
parable?
Yes, but I like entertaining that idea. I really do. And, you know, it feels better when you see a movie like Snakes on a Plane to be come away and say, you know, today I learned something about the war on terror. I really, that somehow feels really good. So what do we think? First great movie of the 21st century, Dana?
I don't know. Yeah, that was your argument as we were walking out of
privately,
the movie.
Privately over email. But yes, it was my tentative argument. But it certainly lives up to the, it has snakes on a plane, so it lives up to the hype, right?
It's got to have, I think, the most quotable quote, which everybody was on tenterhooks waiting for the whole time.
And a good note to end on, I'll give it to you.
Well, given that we're on a podcast here and not on radio, I believe I can quote Samuel L. Jackson, if you'll join me.
Yes.
I think, how did he set it up? Enough is enough. I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Words to live by.
All right, so thank you for joining me for this Slate spoiler special. Goodbye, Brian.
Thank you, Dana.
For Slate.com, I'm Dana Stevens.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.